Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Idlib deal, de-escalation or delayed disaster? The Russian-Turkish de facto ceasefire deal over Idlib has prompted a flurry of reactions ranging from praise for its pragmatic de-escalation of a sensitive situation to warnings that it's only a temporary fix aimed at delaying an inevitable disaster. John Kerry, deep state diplomacy in Iran. John Kerry admitted to carrying out what some are euphemistically calling shadow diplomacy in trying to save the Obama-era nuclear deal with Iran, which Trump and Pompeo described as being potentially illegal and unprecedentedly undermining the foreign policy of the present administration. And also, trade war tensions, the tariffs take off. Trump's decision to impose a 10% tariff on $200 billion of imported Chinese goods means that America is now levying extra taxes on a total of roughly $250 billion worth of products from the People's Republic, showing that the trade war has indeed taken off. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the Idlib deal. The Russian-Turkish de facto ceasefire deal over Idlib has prompted a flurry of reactions ranging from praise for its pragmatic de-escalation of a sensitive situation to warnings that it's only a temporary fix aimed at delaying an inevitable disaster. The heads of state of both of these great powers met on Monday in Sochi and hashed out an agreement whereby the Turkish military and Russian military police would be responsible for a 15-kilometer de-escalation zone along the line of contact between the so-called armed opposition and the Syrian Arab Army, respectively. Ankara would in turn be in charge of separating the moderate opposition from terrorists within the province that has already been under its official purview since the original de-escalation zone agreement reached in May 2017 during an earlier round of the Astana process. As it stands, this will prospectively result in an informal buffer zone between the last remaining Islamist militants in the country and the Syrian Arab Army, essentially freezing the kinetic aspect of this conflict in place for the time being, while possibly adding a renewed impetus to the previously stalled constitutional reform process mandated by UNSC 2254. Another consequence of this compromise is that Damascus can now turn its strategic, but not necessarily military, sights on the Kurdish-controlled northeastern part of the country that's also occupied by U.S. forces and France. This suggests that back-channel diplomacy between the two parties might accelerate as events in the country move closer towards a so-called political solution, whereby all sides engage in compromises from their maximalist positions in order to bring an end to the war. While that would be the most pragmatic long-term outcome of the Russian-Turkish deal over Idlib, there's also the chance that things won't turn out as planned, and that the terrorist menace in the province will prove more difficult to eradicate than expected. On top of that, it might be difficult for both great powers to exert positive influence on their on-the-ground partners of the Syrian Arab Army and the moderate rebels respectively to avoid any provocations along or across the so-called buffer zone. This scenario would therefore make the Idlib deal more of a temporary fix than a sustainable solution, and could also make it more difficult for Damascus to reach a deal with the Kurds if the latter realizes that the Syrian Arab Army still has its hands full dealing with the situation in the northwest. So folks, I gotta say, Monday's events seem to have been overshadowed by what happened later that night with the Israeli plane and everything that unfolded afterwards with that tragedy. But nonetheless, we need to keep our eyes on what happened in Idlib because this is really going to influence the outcome of the actual war in Syria. So to begin our conversation, we're going to speak to Mr. Stephen Sahuni. He's a Syrian-American journalist. Hi, Stephen. How you doing today?
Hi, Andrew.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Stephen, how serious is the terror situation in Idlib right now? And how optimistic are you that the Turkish military will be successful in rooting out these forces per its responsibilities under the deal?
I just wanted to make sure that the deal, I don't see and I'm not optimistic that the deal will go through. Because as we all know, that there is over 100 terrorist groups. Each terrorist group has a different leader, and each leader takes money from a different country and from a different area. So all this is going to be hard for the Turkish and the others and their allies to gather these terrorists all under one roof and get them out, or tell them to you cannot fight anymore. You pull out your weapons. That's going to be hard. That's number one. We're talking about the terrorists who are from Syria. Number two, you have tens of thousands of terrorists from abroad, from, as we say, the Igor from China, you have from Saudi, you have from all over the world. Also, those are dangerous. And you, also those, I don't think that will go for the deal. Okay, that in politics, they can say whatever they want. But in reality, I don't see the deal being at all being successful. And the Turkish, we always, through history, the Turkish, they are not a man of their word. They did a deal with Putin, but they are not a man of their word. They don't go through what they say. And the Russians, they know that. And they know that the Turkish, they have stabbed them many times in the back in the last 7 years of the Syrian war. Every time they do a deal with Syria, with Turkey about Syria, the Turkish stab them in the back, and they do not stay a man of their word. So I am not optimistic at all about the deal, and I do not see this deal going through between the Russians and the Turkish.
Okay, Stephen, well, pro-government Syrian voices, including on social and official media, had been reporting about an impending liberation operation in Idlib for the past few weeks, but now these plans seem to have been unexpectedly scuttled for the time being because of the Idlib deal. So what's the reaction in Syria to what happened? I mean, are Syrians supportive of the deal? Are they a bit critical of it, as you are? I mean, what's the prevailing sentiment right now?
The majority of the Syrian people, they are against the deal, and they want the Syrian army to liberate the whole area. Because in that city, the city of Idlib, there is the terrorists inside of that city. They have killed and slaughtered with cold blood massacres against the Syrian people, if they were army or civilians. So the Syrian people, they want revenge from those terrorists, and they want to take them out completely by the Syrian army. The Syrian people are unoptimistic at all from the deal. They don't want the deal. They want the Syrian army to go through with the operation and liberate the area. And as I told you, and as I see, that it might not be the operation, the Syrian army operation today, but it's going to happen now or eventually, because the deal is not going to go through, as all of the deals that went in the past about Syria. And especially today, the Syrian government and their allies, the Russians, Iranians, and the Lebanese resistance, they're in a position of power. Because now they control the majority of the Syrian land. The economy is going through well. Syria just had the Damascus spheres from over 50 countries around the world. So Damascus is in the stage of power. So the Syrians and the Russians, they're the one who's going to put the rules. So I think the operation is going to go through, but it just needs time to prove to the world that the Turkish and the terrorists on the ground, they are not a man of their word, and we need to kill these terrorists.
Okay, got it then. So, Stephen, in terms of the bigger picture, how do you see the Idlib deal affecting the overall dynamics of the war, and could it potentially influence the ongoing constitutional reform process by incentivizing all sides to reach an agreement related to so-called decentralization?
As we've seen from the day one of the war on Syria, the Syrian government has been ready to sit on the table with a political solution with the other side. But always, who refuses it is the other side. The problem is, you have one side who's a Syrian government, a strong side, united, no problems with it. The other side, you have each group has a different leader, each group have a different opposition. You have an opposition in Egypt, opposition in Turkey, opposition in Saudi, and opposition inside of Syria. So they're not all united. So the Syrian government, they have no one to sit with. But from the day one, the Syrian government are ready to sit on the table, and they want a political solution to end this war so Syria can start the rebuilding of the country. But that's the problem. So the Idlib deal, as I told you, when it's finished, either by a deal, and I don't think that's going to happen, or by a military operation. So as I say, the opposition inside of Syria and some opposition who are not, working with the United States, and they don't take their orders from the United States, they are going to sit with the Syrian government, and they will find a solution. But now, I don't see any deal happening, nothing happening until the city of Idlib finished. And when the city of Idlib finished, the northeast of Syria also will be finished, and the Kurds will give the northeast of Syria to the Syrian government.
Stephen, this was a very sobering perspective that gives us a lot to reflect on, especially when it comes to the complex on-the-ground realities when compared to what's being reported in both the mainstream but also the alternative media. So thanks a lot for clarifying a lot of these details for us. Much appreciated. Now we're going to hear what Ms. Serap Balaman has to say. She's a Turkish political commentator. Serap, welcome to Trendstorm. So happy to host you today.
Hello.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Serap, how monumental of an achievement is the Idlib deal for the Russian-Turkish strategic partnership, and what does it say about the growing role that Ankara is playing in positively resolving the war on Syria instead of exacerbating it like it once did?
First of all, I want to thank you, Andrew, for inviting me again to your Trendstorm program. It's always a big pleasure. Thank you very much. So this agreement shows us now clearly at the last stage of the Syrian war, the alliances of the several main actors for different reasons, a very positive achievement for both countries' long-term strategic relations. All along the last years, with in an intensifying speed, we have seen many twisting alliances as well as silent agreements and alliances. Now the main actors, Syria, Turkey, Russia, Iran, USA, Israel, Lebanon, France, Britain, Germany, and the Takfiris groups of all kinds, armed oppositions, are having sometimes quite complex relations. Turkey and Russia's strategic partnership is growing up, and this is for the benefit of both sides. Russia is also playing a very subtle diplomatic role between Syrian state and the Turkish state. Both have decided to try the peace method rather than war and more bloodshed. They did the right thing, and that took much courage. Turkey and Russia's joint announcement of forming a demilitarized zone in Idlib spells hope for the region, although it disappoints the power gains of some others. The Syrian government appreciates the Russian and Iranian leadership efforts at the summit in Tehran and welcomed the agreement on Idlib on the recent Turkish-Russian talks in Sochi. As Syria's UN envoy Bashar Jafari said the very next day after the signed agreement, and he added the Syrian government welcomed any initiative aimed at restoring stability and territories that suffered from terrorist activities. The United States reluctantly welcomed the Turkish-Russian initiative that maybe destroyed their plans. They wanted Idlib to serve as a wedge between Ankara and Moscow, but it did not happen, and wished that Syrian Arab army to attack and to try to clean surely will be a bloody one at Idlib, and used this as an alibi to hit Damascus very hard. That too did not happen. Europe warned if there will be a supposed chemical attack, they will hit Idlib as well. The former Turkish government, especially under the grip of Gulen sect and Abdullah Gül, participated in the dirty game of Great Middle East Project and had been used for the Stratov project, so as their useful tool, ex-Prime Minister of Foreign Relations Davutoğlu. That time, Turkish government played a nice game, not a nice game, on behalf of Western powers and being used. And the Syria being a haven for the PKK terrorists against the Turkey, that complicated the issue.
Okay, well, I'd like to ask you about the contemporary role now, or rather, the future role that you think Turkey might be playing, because it bears enormous responsibility for eradicating terrorism in Idlib as part of its duty under this agreement, which basically grants it official permission to do there what it's already been doing in Afrin. So, Serap, how likely is it that Idlib becomes part of a Turkish sphere of influence? Influence, just like Afrin already is.
Now everybody is asking if Battle of Idlib postponed temporarily or permanently called off, and thinking this is a clever slowdown plan for now. The imperialist Western aggression on Syria has started at Idlib by the coalition conquest army. They're all kind of al-Nusra, al-Sham, Tahrir al-Sham and everything at March 2011. It all started at Idlib and wishing that it will end at Idlib. No time gaining, no postponed. All has to reach to an end. This is an advanced defense for Turkey to prevent possible Kurdish corridor, which is under construction by combining cantons, which is the main aim of the Kurds later to reach Mediterranean by occupying Turkey's Hatay region, a Kurdish energy corridor, which is in line with the Great Middle East project. Let us remember, we have already previously spoke the unique position of Turkish army not so far ago, little less than 100 years ago, all this region will belong to us. Our army still has necessary maps and knowledge of the region of in the military way and has a better conditions to agree with the groups than any other foreigners in the region, including the support of the civilians. The armed opposition remained concentrated around Idlib province, located on the southern border of Turkey. Idlib is so important to ending the conventional military phase of the Syrian war on Syria, let's say, because it's become a nest of the most diehard terrorists over the past years. Idlib is extra sensitive in a geostrategic sense that is very close to Turkish border and very close to Russian Hamamein air base in Latakia, also Aleppo. Turkey is protecting its borders, and with the two former operations, Arafat Shield, started from Jarablus, and Olive Branch Operation, and Afrin, built up a safe zone as its borders of the Western Arafat region. The last point remained Idlib. Better to remember Syrian army and Turkish army provided already that they could work together during the Afrin Shield operation Turkey made previously 1.5 years ago during Syrian army's Halep siege. Turkey aimed to dissolve, demobilize radical factions and transform them into moderate actions. At the same time, it also hoped to increase the moderate operations control of Idlib by strengthening against HTS elements. So the Damascus attacks also contradict all the overall logic of Astana deal. Turkey position in Afrin and the area cleared by Operation Arafat Shield may be weakened if the SAA attacks and push civilians to those areas. Turkey is the key to peace in Syria now. I wish they will do a good job.
Okay, so Serap, we only have literally less than a minute left, so I have to be very, very brief here. If the so-called rebels succeed in weeding out all the terrorists and all the extremists in Idlib, how possible do you think it is that Turkey's de facto sphere of influence in that region will be enshrined into law, let's say, by a decentralization of the country as part of a political compromise? I mean, do you foresee that happening, or do you foresee the central authorities reasserting their legitimacy over that part of the country in total?
I think it is still too early to name Idlib as a Turkish de facto sphere of influence, even there is a big part of reality in it as per today, but the future is full of surprises. First of all, those armed oppositions or moderate oppositions powers, such as HTS Hayat al-Tahrir al-Sham, who controls a big part of Idlib with very strong weaponry. Even Turkish government made some agreements with them in the past. Those agreements are not in line with today's intentions. This is a huge difficult point, and as we know, from all the liberated areas of Syria, such as Ghouta, Halep regions, and all diehard terrorists had been brought here by buses with their families. So this is their last bastion, and they will fight to the end. It will be easier for Turkey to control some moderate opposition powers, as Turkey has a long-term relations with them since the beginning of the Syrian war, 2011. Some of those al-Nusra-linked groups have Chechen, Turkish, Uzbek, Uyghur, and North African terrorists inside. Turkey can have a big influence on them to leave their arms and pursue them to work with SAA, Syrian Arab Army, maybe. This is the deal and the role of Turkey, in fact. There are already 12 observation points around Idlib. As for constitutional reform for decentralizing the country, I was thinking, as you have once wrote about it, and said already, one-third of the Syrian land is in the hands of USA. The big piece of land, which is at the east of Euphrates River, is the richest area in all Syria, full of oil and natural gas fields, and the richest agriculture fields. So USA planning to control the area with the highly armed, trained PKK-affiliated terrorist Kurdish YPG forces. Certainly there will be a problem about this region with Damascus government. At the same time, Iran is controlling with at least 6 army bases south of Syria. So the decentralization is a fact already on the table as a part of the political compromise between all sides.
Serap, this was such an informative discussion. It's very valuable to include the Turkish perspective on everything, especially at this late and possibly even final stage of the conflict. So thanks again for speaking with us.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Stephen and Serap both share with us today, we can see that what's happening in Idlib, it certainly is controversial. Of course, it should have been taken for granted that our Syrian and Turkish guest would have, at the very least, slightly divergent analyses of the situation. But nonetheless, I think that we can all agree that it was a very significant deal. It holds a lot of promise. And if everything goes according to plan, which is an if, it's not exactly guaranteed at this point, then it possibly could bring an end to the kinetic aspect of this conflict. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonikanews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.